David Reske, CEO of NowSpeed Marketing, and welcome to this edition of In the Now, where we focus on uncovering the myths and misunderstandings of marketing and leadership with some of the world's most interesting people. And my guest today is Ian Fetter, CMO of GG Homes. Ian's had an amazing set of experiences from starting his own online business to running marketing for a major line of business for Amazon. He's been a fractional CMO, a CMO, and I'm just excited to welcome you to the show, Ian. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, David. Excited to be here.
Thanks. You've had some amazing experiences of, starting your own business, working for a large company, now being a CMO. What do you like best? that's an interesting career path. Which path did you like the best of all those?
Oh geez, which path? I feel like the path was ever wandering and moving from vertical to horizontal. What I enjoyed was the consistent challenge of learning new customers and new challenges and new people within the realms, figuring out what the persona was, the go to market strategy and orchestrating a 360 degree view of them and how to go to market.
That's great. Yeah. So you're clearly an expert in all these things. And you and I have been talking about content marketing a little bit before the show. And as you know, I like to start these conversations with a Mythbuster question on marketing. And the question we were talking about is around content marketing. Content marketing is all about giving people the information they just need to make good decisions. Is that true or not true in the marketing world?
So I think that it's partially true. And, while that is definitely a reason, or a key to success within content marketing is delivering quality content that will give the reader or user information that they need to make quality decisions, I think really the underlying pin of everything within marketing and content marketing is making someone feel something so that they're more likely to do something. And so within content marketing and creating quality content and giving that to your reader, what you're really doing is affecting their emotions of trust and their perceptions of value of you and your brand and them and their life. And you're impacting their emotions and their feelings about you and about knowledge and about being thought leaders and all of those things that are going on in their head and their hearts that, it's going to help them make good decisions, but really it's there to place you and your company's brand within their mind's eye and their heart and feelings of confidence of this is a place that I go to get things that better me. And so this is, I feel safe and this is trustworthy. And those kind of feelings are paramount to you have quality content and that's great and you're giving them quality content, but the ultimate drive of all of this is to make them think of you first when they have a problem within that sphere of influence that you're creating.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Let's unpack that a little bit in some different ways. Do you think that's equally true in the B2B world as it is in the B2C world? Are B2C marketers better at tapping into those emotions and those emotions of trust, and B2B?
I don't know that any style of marketer is better or worse at it, because I really believe that all marketing boils down to making a person feel a particular thing so that they're more likely to do what we're wanting them to do than what they would do. And B2B, buyers just have different motivations and different feelings and emotions that you need to tap into. With the B2B buyer, you need to focus on the fear of, is this decision going to get me fired? That's the ultimate thing within B2B marketing, is make this person feel safe that if anything they decide within your realm, if they choose you, they will never lose their job. And that makes everything significantly easier within the B2B world. So that's the primary emotion that needs to be addressed within. And you go about doing that within different ways within the B2B world, because you have buying committees and buying people, and there's budgets, and there's longer buying cycles and trouble understanding who decision makers are. But in the end, it's still about finding the human element of the buying committee and who's that buyer at the end of the day, who's the human being at the other end of the screen or the piece of paper you're sending or the phone call that you're making. Who's that human being over there? Because in the end of the day, businesses don't buy from businesses, people buy from people.
Yeah, that is so true. So, if we're really trying to address those fears the B2B buyer has of getting fired, I love the way you said that. I think that really crystallizes it. In the B2C world, what is that essential? Or is it a whole variety of emotions?
In
And
the
why?
B2C world, it's totally dependent upon what the product is and how you're doing it, what the problem is it solving for that consumer, and how's it making them feel, and what's the driving force there, or are these impulse buys that you need to promote the endorphins and everything hitting the customer? Do we want them to feel safe, secure? You want them to feel anxious and scared because that's going to make them more hairline trigger on certain things. Do you want to? It's all dependent upon who is that person. There's all sorts of different people. There's 330, 50 million people in the US alone. So we look at different segments of them. We have to understand who they are, what are they going through that week, that day, that hour, that minute, that making them feel something. And how are we going to tap into that and utilize that information to deliver the right message, right images to them at the right time so that they take action.
So it's much more complicated on the B2C side and highly dependent on the product and the type of purchase that people are making. How do you, as a CMO, how do you figure out what those real felt and latent needs or fears are? How do you get to the essence of that so you can create campaigns around it?
Really, I think that all businesses and marketing teams and departments really just need to put the customer at the center of everything, and so learning that customer and as much as you can, and what between interviews of customers, current clients, interviews of the staff that works there, competitors, getting out into the market, being a consumer within your channels, understanding what their experience is, and really trying to put yourself in their mindset. And then once you come back into the office and look at things of making campaigns, I really like to look at a 360 degree view of who's that person, what's their media week look like, understand what we need to do to drive them to action within each circumstance within that week. What are we wanting them to do? I think everything needs to have one call to action, one just drive people one step down the funnel. Don't ask them to go from step one to step six. Ask them to go from step one to two, and then from two to three, and then from two to four, and build a logical step sequence for them, and then figure out how to reach them and deliver that out. Which channels are gonna work for you and which aren't, and test, measure, iterate, repeat. I think that we can only think that we know something, and we never really know until we put it into action and let those customers tell us by their actions and their purchases.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that makes a lot of sense. So, from a market research, what you're really talking about is excellent market research, really, or getting excellent customer insights. Do you think it's super valuable at this point in marketing to hire a market research firm to kind of execute a campaign? Or in your experience, is it better to have those individual conversations with buyers yourself as a CMO? Do you delegate that? Do you hire? How do you kind of, because it can be a lot of work, and especially in the B2C world where you might be having a market segment, addressable market of thousands or millions, how do you get the time? How do you get those insights? Practically, what's the best way to do that?
I would say a mix of all of those. It depends on the size and scale of the organization and the scope of the budgets and timeline. I always say you can there's three things to choose from. You can have them fast, good, or cheap. Pick two. And so you can only ever have two of those. You can't have all three. And you pick what your priorities are, and you dig in there and figure it out. Different organizations at different scales, whether it's a startup, you know, seed round company has very different needs of that versus a bulldog, small medium business trying to move up into enterprise, or an already enterprise business that has resources and millions of dollars of revenue already. They have different needs and different speeds and different quantities of people that need to be interviewed and surveyed and whatnot to get what you would consider to be enough of a pool to make your decision from. And so different scales of companies have different viewpoints on that.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So if we think about like the enterprise for a minute, and they might be, hiring a market research firm. They're going out and bring out data from interviews or surveys from thousands of people, representative sample in their marketplace. And then they come back and they bring that into a campaign strategy. Imagine that's got to be a pretty complex process. And you've lived that at very large companies. How do you get your arms around that level of data and that level of complexity to think about the whole addressable market?
So really what I look for when I'm looking at the overarching market research reports and things that we would do or studies in order to build things is that those are used to build our personas out better and define who this. And it's really focused on demographics and in market segments for other things, and like what life events are going on for these people, so we can understand what's happening in their life at this time when they happen to be in the market for us. Because most things, people are only in the market for them for a limited time. And if we can understand and learn what life events or what things about them tell us that they should be more ready to be receptive to us, we can spend our money smarter on those people who are more likely to convert, and thereby we just understand more about our overall market and personas. Instead of trying to come and create campaigns out of it, we really build it into the foundation of how we create everything. And in that sense, you're getting the highest value out of that research that you're doing and putting it into the core of the business, where you're pulling all of where every copywriter and every graphic designer and every marketer is going to that place to get that information of how are we building these things, how do we write for these people. That's where it's coming from. And so by using it for that instead of using it for three levels higher thing, I also don't really believe in campaigns in the standard way that most people think about. Oh, let's do a Christmas campaign or let's do a campaign for this one new thing. I believe in new product launch campaigns, but really other than that, everything should kind of fit under umbrella campaigns that are evergreen and lifelong for the company and for the customer that you're creating. And we have five personas, we should have five funnels that exist indefinitely for these people. We might test different campaigns within those things, but a campaign is not like a one-off, living, railroad track that I see a lot of, people create from an agency. And I think that those are built because that's how agencies work. And big companies that have agencies have those because that keeps agencies busy doing things and charging people for things that they are doing.
Yep. So campaigns are really should be tied to personas, is what you're saying. And then,
yeah, the campaign should be tied into the full funnel vision of each persona that you've created, how best to drive them from impression to.
Yep, that makes sense. So if you're in that big company example, you're using that research to really understand the personas to get the highest value out of your marketing campaigns. Let's say if you're a startup, maybe not quite a startup, you're in market with your first product, you're trying to get off the ground, you've got customers, you've got revenue, but you're really trying to get some traction and kind of grow up there. And you've got a very limited budget. And you're, instead of doing the market research firm, you've done your own interviews and you've talked to people and you're kind of getting out there. Now you want to, you know, build out your personas. Is the process different? Do you think about it differently? Do you kind of
It's the same. You're just doing it yourself, and you're going out and interviewing the customers, and you're interviewing the competitors, and like maybe you're hiring an intern to interview competitors because they have an email address that's not yours, and you're on LinkedIn and known to the community, and people hide that. But no, it's very similar, and you're always going to feed it back into what the base of your business is and build it from there.
Yeah.
I think it's all it
same
doesn't matter
process.
Size and scale. It's, from that standpoint, you're going to take your info, feed it into your sources of everything and let it build up from there.
And there's lots of different campaigns, or I should say there's lots of different channels you can use to run your campaigns these days. Some of your favorites? If I'm that, you know, startup, let's say I just met a really cool company. They're doing a women's handbag company, and they're trying to grow through, they've actually sourced these bags in Africa, and they're trying to help, you know, these women in Africa get jobs, but they're launching and they're growing in the US. They think they've got a good understanding of their client base. They are launching the product and trying to grow. What are your go-to channels for companies like that in the B2C space? How do you kind of get some early traction these days?
Really, my strategy is to look at the customer, try to get a 360-degree view of their media consumption week, and then divide your budget appropriately based off those percentages. So if they spend 7% of their time on Facebook, then we spend 7% of our budget on Facebook. If they're on Instagram 11%, then we spend 11% on Instagram. And that's how the first month works. And we look at which channels and which campaigns are performing and which aren't within that first month. And we very quickly kill the ones that aren't and throw the money onto the ones that are. And that way you're like I said, I never know what the customer is going to do, where I can hypothesize things, but the best way to test and learn and understand, I found, is start with the picture of the customer. This is their internet week. Spend your money where they're spending their time, and then double down where they're making their decisions and pull away from where they're not making their decisions. Because everyone has, you know, ticks within themselves of, oh, I go here and for this, but I don't make decisions there. I don't purchase through Facebook. I don't purchase through Instagram, but I look and I browse and I see there, and then I purchase through YouTube or through Google or through, you know, whatever, Amazon or whatever your channel.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So it sounds like you have a very systematic and structured approach to making those decisions. You know, in my experience working with marketers, not everybody has that level of discipline on that. Where do marketers kind of get tripped up
any choices? Time that, yeah, the data is definitely the most important thing in any marketing team and marketing department. Having clean data that you can read and understand where every sale comes from, what campaign, what keywords, and track those people back and understand what they've done. That's how you're learning about who is successful. The more you can learn about the people who purchase and feed that back into the algorithms of the platforms that are providing those people and that traffic to you, the more that you can learn and target and become better with it.
Yeah. So it sounds like the first thing you got to do is you got to get your data set up before you launch your first, spend your first dollar in advertising and get your attribution modeling done.
So data is cleanliness and hygiene is paramount.
Yeah. And is it getting easier these days with the tools that are out there, or is it getting harder because there's more complexity?
I would say that it's complex because it's getting easier in some ways from a tracking standpoint and whatnot with AI and helping write code and other things, but it's getting more challenging because of the personal data safety things that are coming up within the US and EU from GDPR standpoints.
Yeah, so we don't really get all the data that we're looking at. Ian, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for joining me today. If people want to contact you and learn more about you or your company, how would they do that?
The best way for them to learn more about the company would be at elitecmo.com. They can reach out to me via email, Ian, that's IAN at elitecmo.com, or through LinkedIn. My name's Ian Fader, IAN-FBD.
Great. Thanks again for taking the time, Ian. Have a great day.
Thanks, man.